Ooh, I'm excited today. What y'all want to watch? A&E, cool. our little ones, go with Brother James. Okie dokie, guys, you ready to get into the good book? Man, where'd all the people go? Hey, we got a lot to go over this morning. This is some good stuff. Father God, thank you right now for your anointing presence. Thank you for your peace and your guidance and your wisdom, and your will be done in this service, Lord Jesus. Thank you for blessing us and encouraging us. And let us receive this word and walk in it. Let us apply it to our lives. In Christ's wonderful, precious, holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys, if you want to go ahead, turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to be at, or is where we're going to start at. Good morning to you. I love you. Let's see, for a few weeks now we've been talking about spiritual disciplines, getting back to the basics of our relationship with our Lord, getting back to growing in relationship. You guys down with that? Hey, listen, man, I don't want to be a doomsday type of guy, but we need to get strong in the Lord. We need to get strong in the Lord. We need to grow our faith because the time's coming when we're going to have to live by faith. Amen. God is doing some awesome and amazing things in this earth, and we need to be excited about it. We need to be prepared, and we need to put God first. We want to grow in our relationship. Amen. Okay, if you're with me, and you're in Matthew, hold on, let me say, this is spiritual discipline number three-ish, not in any particular order, but we did fasting, we did spending time in the Lord's Word, meditating on the Lord's Word, and now we're talking about praying. Any of you guys pray on a regular basis around here? Tell the truth, shame the devil. Okay, hopefully, Lord willing, we all spend a fair amount of time in the Lord's Word every day and in prayer. Prayer is one of the ways where we communicate with our Heavenly Father. That is such a blessing in itself that the Lord God, creator of the universe, wants to spend time with us. Amen? And He does want to spend time with us. He wants us to grow in relationship. He wants us to fall in love with Him. And the more time I spend with Him by reading the Scriptures and in prayer, the more I'm going to respect Him, the more I'm going to love Him. Amen. So let's do everything we can to arrange our lives accordingly to where I'm going to make sure, if at all possible, I spend time in the Lord's Word every day and I spend time in prayer. Amen. Now, prayer is not simply a monologue where I get up and list a bunch of things that I would like to see happen, but it's a dialogue between me and my Creator, me and my Savior. And He will. So are you saying, Paul, are you saying that God will speak to you? God will definitely speak to you in a time of prayer. He does. Listen, if you're not hearing Him, just slow down a little bit, okay? Because He wants to spend time with you. He wants to sow into your life. He knows everything about you. He already knows all the ins and outs about you. He knows all the good stuff and the bad stuff, and He still wants to hang out with you. Isn't that cool? He still wants to hang out with us, and He wants us to enjoy that time. So maybe you don't enjoy it. Maybe you haven't gotten into it, but give it a chance. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Our time of prayer, now listen up. If you're taking notes, write this down. Our time of prayer is essential for our spiritual growth. We need to spend time in prayer. Amen? Okay, so listen, let me, anybody know who A.W. Tozer is? Heavy hitter. Big-time gospel guy, pastor and author. This is what he said about prayer, okay? To desire revival. So if you're, and I'm not talking about worldwide revival, not right now. I'm not talking about God's global church. I'm not talking about Milton, Florida. I'm not talking about America. I'm not even talking about your family. I'm talking about you. Okay? If you're looking for a time of renewed intimacy with the Lord, if you're looking for a time of refreshing, anybody need that? A time of refreshing in your life? Sometimes, hey, let's be honest, man. Sometimes we can get a little dry in our relationship, man. But listen, it's not God's fault. God wants to spend time with us. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? But this is what Tozer's talking about. You want some personal time of refreshing, that saturation of being in his presence, just getting that feeling again. Remember when you first got saved and you're ready to take on the whole empire? Wait, that was a movie. You're ready to do anything for the Lord. I mean, you couldn't stop telling folks about him. Hey, man, I go to church now. Hey, man, I got saved. Okay. Well, God wants us to be excited. God wants us to grow in relationship. Y'all got that? One thing we need to do is begin to spend time with him. Okay. Okay, so Tozer says this: to desire revival and at the same time to neglect personal prayer and devotion is to wish one way and walk the other. So listen, man, if you want that, you're not going to get it without spending time with him. Look at your relationship with your mate or anybody in your life. If you want that relationship to grow, man, you got to water that grass, man. You got to spend time with that individual. Amen? So God wants this. He really, really wants this, okay? He wants us to want it. Come on, guys, get excited this morning, man. Let's have some fun in the Word, okay? Okay, man, look, this is good. I spent a lot of time over the last couple of days looking up what certain people, you can say important people, I don't care what, famous people, but people, what they thought about prayer. A lot of them said some weird stuff. A lot of them didn't know what in the world they were talking about. But I picked out a couple good ones for you. And this cat right here, I don't have a clue who he is, but I really like what he said. I do know he was a British poet. His name is John Masefield, if you want to Google that or something. Not now. We can do that. Do that later. John Masefield. This is what he said about prayer, okay? God, listen up. God warms his hands at man's heart when he prays. God warms his hands at man's heart when he prays. So, listen, you ever been around I think it was last winter, I was at JD's house, and he had this little tiny fire going. And we were sitting around there, just me and him kind of fellowshipping, talking about the Lord. And it's funny, JD, because I was doing all this, and I didn't know you were going to be here, but I was thinking about that little fire. And, you know, now there's really, really cold nights, man. You know, you get at that perfect place, that perfect distance of the fire where you're nice and warm. You're not too close to where you're worried about your shoes melting and all that stuff, or your face getting all blistered, or it's not too big. But see, when we want to spend time with the Lord, man, he's like, oh, it just makes him feel so good. That's what this dude says, and I'm down with that. Does that make sense with you guys? He delights in spending time with us. He loves it when we run and say, hey, Dad, I want to fellowship with you. Hey, I want to hang out with you. Okay, Paul, I get it, but those are some dudes, man. I mean, what's the Word say about it? I got you covered. Okay. Psalms 145. Do we have the slides? Let's go on down to Psalms 145 and verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him. God wants to hang out with us, beloved. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So if I'm sincere and I really want to hang out with my Lord and Savior, okay, God's like, yeah, let's do this. Draw an eye unto him, he's drawing an eye unto you. You know what I mean? He wants to hang with us. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 8 on there, the monitor. Look at part B. But the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. Okay, that acceptable, okay, the prayer of the upright, meaning his people. Are we his people this morning? Do you belong to him? Okay, so if you want to spend time with the good Lord, okay, we need to belong to him. If you don't belong to him, then you need to get saved, okay? And we can do that this morning. Matter of fact, you need to do that this morning before you leave. Matter of fact, we would be stoked and excited, and no one would tease you or make fun of you or laugh behind your back. We would be so excited if you have not accepted Jesus Christ. I don't care if you've been going here for 30 years. I mean, Dude, it's just awesome. Just come accept Jesus. It's going to be great. Okay? That's step number one. But if you're his, if you're in relationship with him, dude, he is all fired up about when you want to hang out with him. You know what I'm saying? So I know all you guys, and you guys know me, and you know I got a bunch of kids. It's different when you say, okay, kids, you know what? We're going to have special kids day today. We're going to the museum, and we're going to do this and that. And you can tell the kids would rather just stay and play on their stupid electronics and stuff. But they go, and maybe halfway through it, they start having a little fun, letting their guard down. And then before too long, they're like, I want to go home. You know, that's okay. But when they want to hang out, when they're stoked about being with you as a father, man, that's an awesome feeling. You know, when they're like, your kids are like, you know, hey, Dad, I want to watch so-and-so with you. Man, I'm going to make time for that. I want that to work out. You know what I mean? I want to spend time with my kids. That's how God is, man. When we're like, hey, I was just thinking about how thankful I am, you know, and you know, just, man, I just really want to hang out. Dude, God loves that junk. He's warming his hands on that. You know what I mean? Okay, praise the Lord. God is good. Okay, Matthew 6. Did anybody turn there? Matthew 6, that's going to be on the next slide. Matthew 6 and verse 5. So if you're taking notes, God wants to spend time with us. God wants us to spend time with us. Hold on. God wants you to spend time with him. He digs on that. Matthew 6 and verse 5. It starts out, and when you pray, this is red letter stuff. This is Jesus talking. So this is stuff, man, we got to take this in, amen? We got to apply it. Whose monster is this? Anyone mind if I drink this? Okay. God is good. That's, never mind. Anyways, let's stay on track this morning. Chicken and dumplings are awaiting us. But there's more important things to life than chicken and dumplings. Let's go back and start talking about our fasting. A fasting message. Y'all don't think about none of that good stuff over there. I know that these ladies made me special stuff, and I'm going to enjoy that. But right now, I got food that some folks don't know about. Amen? This is what we're really here for, man. And I'm so glad that here in America, right now, this day and age, there ain't no locks on these doors. You know what I mean? We can all come together and worship publicly. This is a blessing right now. And we need to do this and do it even more as that day gets closer. So from here on out, we're going to Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 6-day-a-week services. I'm playing. Hey, man, but that's where the rubber meets the proverbial road, amen? Okay, God is good. Let's get back on track. I hope you're there at Matthew 6 and 5. This is Jesus talking. So God wants me to pray, but God expects me to pray. Write that down if you're doing any notes of any sort. God expects me to pray. It is essential for my relationship. It is essential for my spiritual maturity to pray. Okay. And when you pray, you see that right there? Case closed. And when you pray, not if you want to, but when you pray. Amen? And when you pray, well, how often do I pray? Well, pretty much pray without ceasing. So we need to be in an attitude of prayer all the time. You know? And sometimes you're not going to be able to get alone and do some hardcore hanging out. But see, God wants us to have a lot. You know, a lot of people don't dig on those shotgun prayers, you know, but just continue to spend time with the Lord throughout the day. Amen. Listen, I worked at this shelter for near about 6 years, and it was a wild job, man. It was crazy. And I had about a 40-minute drive to work every morning, and I decided, man, I'm going to spend this time. Well, first of all, I'm going to spend this time with all the housewives of America and listen to a few minutes of Joyce Meyer. And then when she went off the air, she just happened to be on when I got in the car the last few minutes. And then when she talked about selling stuff or whatever, like, okay. they got to do that. They have to pay for airtime. I'm not knocking that. But I would spend about 35 minutes just in prayer. And the more I did it, and I didn't have my eyes closed, I ain't that close to the Lord. But the longer I did it, as I would get closer to work, the more I would just enjoy it, man. It'd just be this awesome time with the Lord to where when I'd pull up, I mean, nobody's stoked when they pull up to work. I'm like, okay, time to make the donuts. But I was just enjoying that time with the Lord. But the benefits were amazing. You know, I could have listened to oldie station. You know, I could have talked on the phone or whatever. There's a lot of things I could have did, but I chose to spend that time with the Lord. And you know what? That time, that sacrifice of setting this time aside to spend with the Lord really helped me through that day. Man, I was prayed up and I was ready up, because a lot of times you'd walk into spiritual combat, man, right away. I'm talking about crazy stuff, man. But I've already been soaking in the Lord, man, just spending that time with him. And it really helps us out, man. We need to make sure that we do it, and God expects it. This is one of the weapons that the Lord has given us. Amen? Isn't God good? Okay. And when you pray, okay, let's write this down. This is how we don't pray, okay? You must not be like the hypocrites, okay? Don't be like one of these dudes that talk the talk but doesn't walk the walk. Okay, remember, God sees everything, and he knows why you're praying. Okay, so this, really do think about this. What is my motivation for praying? What is my motivation for praying right now? Think about that, okay? You must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Okay, so in old school Israel, at certain times, man, you'd stop and you'd spend time with the Lord. You pray. Okay, so some of these fancy boys, they'd stop and they'd have the scriptures on their noggin. Dana, what are them things called? Something like that. I'm sorry, I mean to put you on the spot. Okay, yes, they would have these Bible scriptures, I can't say that word anyways, but they'd have these little boxes with Bible scriptures wrapped up in there, so they were constantly, so it was showing, hey, listen, I'm focusing on God's word no matter where I go. I'm focusing on God's word, you know? And so certain times, man, they would stop. I mean, you could be in like Walmarts or Kmarts and all of a sudden, but bless God, praise God. You know, these people would just start praying, and some people were sincere, you know what I mean? And God's down with that. Okay, but he says these cats, dude, that say, hey, bless God, look at me, I'm super spiritual guy. There's pretty much no one can pray like me. And look, I got the Bible wrapped up and, you know, in here, I got it going on. You know what I mean? God's not down with that. He says, so check your motivation, you know. I don't think any of us here pray to be noticed. I think maybe we don't pray enough, but and I don't know any of you, but I'm talking about myself. You know, I don't think that I pray enough. But anyways, let's keep going. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Okay, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Don't you just love the Lord? Do you love Jesus? He just said right there, you know, that's the reward. I hope you enjoyed that few minutes in the spotlight, bro, because me and you, man, we're not hanging out. Okay, that's for show. That's for attention. So your blessing was turning the heads, making the old lady spill the chicken, whatever. Okay, I hope that was nice and I hope that was fun, because that's all you're getting. Okay, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Okay, so basically, we're never supposed to pray with other people. And that's not what he's saying. Okay, if you look at Jesus Christ's life, who was our forever example, right? He prayed in public a lot, right? Okay, so he's not saying that, but see, when we pray in privacy, when we pray alone, when we shut the door, when we get on our knees, hey, you're not doing it for a show. There's no one to impress. When you're all by yourself, who are you trying to impress when you're all by yourself? You're not impressing anybody. So I'm focusing on the Lord. I'm spending some intimate time with him. I'm not here to impress anybody. This is just me and time with the Lord. This is what God loves, man, for you to set some time aside and say, you know what? I just love you. Life isn't exactly how I would picked it out, but your ways are above my ways. I don't understand everything that's going on, but you're a good God. I know that you have my best interests at heart, and I just want to spend this time with you because I love you. Amen? And that's when it gets exciting, man. That's when awesome things happen. Okay, so y'all with me so far? Okay, let me enjoy some of this water. Y'all don't want to see me when I start hitting that monster down there. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Okay, so no playing games. God's looking for that sincere heart, amen? And when you pray, this is good, man, And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Well, hold on, hold the phone. Last time I checked, we're a bunch of Gentiles, as far as I know. We're all Gentiles in here. I don't know. Well, what he's talking about, we're Christians. We belong to the Most High God. We've been grafted into the family. Okay, so when he's speaking about Gentiles, he's talking about pagans. In the Hebrew world, there was two types of people. God's chosen people and the Gentiles. You see what I'm saying? Any old hoot and holler. So when it says Gentiles, it's talking about people that are not in covenant with God. People that are not believers. Pagans. You with me? Okay, so we're still in the category how not to pray. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. They think that they will be heard for their many words. So if you got a little beaded necklace and you're rubbing your fingers on it, and you're saying a bunch of, listen, I'm not picking on anybody's grandma's religion. But if you're spending some time hitting the beads and saying a bunch of empty, repetitious, robotic, mechanical words, that's not cutting it. You see what I'm saying? The first thing, God wants relationship. God wants relationship, okay? It doesn't matter how devout you are, he wants relationship. You can go through the motions all day long, but he wants that relationship with you, amen? Okay, so anyways, the first thing I thought of when I read this, and I know I'm not the only person here, I immediately thought about the contest at Mount Carmel. Y'all know what I'm talking about? No? Okay. Well, there was this dude named Elijah. Anybody know who Elijah is? Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. A guy named Elijah, mighty prophet. Really, really awesome, awesome prophet. And he was one of the few prophets that was serving the Lord God Jehovah. I mean, he wasn't the only one, but there was a lot of pagan worship in the land at this time. And so he called out these false prophets, these prophets of Baal. And he said, you know what? People of Israel, everybody come to this assembly. Let's settle this here and there. Okay, if their Bobo, fake demon god is real, then okay, y'all worship him. Let's stop serving two masters. So let's just decide today. Okay? But if the Lord God is Jehovah Israel, then stop straddling the fence. Stop getting in idolatry. Stop getting in spiritual adultery here and follow the one true God. So they had this contest, and it was really, really cool. In lieu of getting into a completely different sermon, let me just say this, that these 400-plus prophets of Baal, the way they were trying to call on their fake demonic God was they were repetitious, saying these words over and over and over again. Oh, Baal, answer us. Over and over and over again, from morning to noon to late into the evening. They kept saying this, and it got more wilder and wilder. As their demon worship got more intense, it got crazy. They started cutting themselves. But you know what? Their fake Bobo demon god never showed up. No matter what they did, man. And they were cutting themselves and slitting themselves and just about bleeding out. You know, and Elijah's sitting in the corner. He's like, oh, my gosh. The sarcasm in the Bible is really cool. Really, really cool. Somebody that's pretty much sarcastic anyways, I appreciate it. But Elijah's sitting over there in the corner. He's like, I don't know. He's not showing up, fellas. Is he on a trip? Is he going to the bathroom, maybe? It's just in there. I'm not making it up. Maybe he's at the far end of the house. You know, like when the kids call. Never mind. God is good. But God's not down with no repetitious, robotic nonsense. Now, let me make this point. I got to say this. God's not saying you can't pray for the same things. He's not saying you can't pray, you know, Lord God, protect my wife today. Lord God, keep my children. He's not saying we can't pray for the same things. Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed for the same thing. Okay, it's not that. It's the emptiness, the not communing, just spouting off words with not hanging out. You see what I'm saying? That's what he's talking about. Don't be like the pagans. Don't be like those false phony cats, okay, that don't even know what they're doing, okay? Stop bringing the world, stop bringing this nonsense into our relationship. I don't like that. You want to hang out with me? I want to hang out with you. But let's do this. Okay, praise the Lord. God is good. All right. Okay. Man. Do not be like them. That's verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So that's cool. So I don't even have to bring anything. I don't even have to petition the Lord then when I pray. No, we should ask that our needs be met. Even though, listen up, even though God knows what we need, and he even knows what we're going to ask for, we still need to petition him. We still need to bring it before him. You see what I'm saying? We need to give it to him like King Hezekiah bringing the list, saying, this is the dirty letter that was written to me. I'm giving this to you. You know, you take care of that. We see there's a peace there. We transfer. There's a transfer here. I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm giving this burden. I'm giving this request to the Lord, and he's going to give me peace. I just felt myself mentally saying, God, this is yours. This is bigger than me. Or I just heard it come out of my mouth. Jesus, I give this to you. Amen. Y'all with me? Okay. Philippians 4. It'll make a little more sense on that. Let your reason, I'm not going to read that. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, this is good, prayer warriors. This is good, people. Listen, Satan hooked me up with some anxiety. Really, 2011, December 2011. Never knew what it was like. Anybody, I know I've asked this question before. Anybody ever battled anxiety? That junk ain't no joke, is it? People that ain't had it don't get it. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I had buddies that said, man, I got anxiety. I can't come out. I'm like, dude, come on, man. Man up. I can't go to work. I got anxiety fit. I'm like, whatever. Man, if you've ever wrestled with that junk, that stuff's crazy, dude. Okay, well, I've been delivered Preacher Arnie's church. A dude named Amick Cutler was praising the Lord, doing wasn't his album released. They were recording the album. And Holy Spirit hit me hard, man. And that stuff got pulled out of me. I got delivered a lot of stuff that night. But like Satan always tries to do, he'll try and, you know, make you doubt that, you know, that you've been delivered. And he'll try and attack you. You know, you making sense? Okay. So Thursday, a week and a half ago, boom, I get a phone call, and just all of a sudden, just super cray-cray anxiety. I'm like, no, man, I'm not living like this. I'm not dealing with this. So I immediately grabbed the good book. I was like, I can't do this. I'm not slipping back down that hole. You know what I mean? So I grabbed the good book, and I begin to pray. And I was shaking, and I couldn't really focus. So I wasn't like, well, I need to go to Philippians 4. Blah, blah. I just opened it up like Sermon on the Mount, I think it was, and just started reading, you know. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Because I was hungry. You know what I mean? I was hungry. And I gave it to the Lord. I was like, God, I'm not doing this. I'm not living like this. So I gave it to him, and that peace came on me. Amen? So listen, we got to get in prayer. We got to get in the good book, and we're going to be blessed for doing it. Amen? Okay, do not be anxious about anything. So what are we allowed to be anxious about? Nothing, pretty much. Well, nothing at all. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is a really cool word if you get down to it. Earnestly asking. I'm earnestly asking, but I'm humbly asking. Okay, so I know who I'm talking to, and there's that reverence for who I'm talking to. But I am earnestly asking, God, I cannot live like this. God, I need you. You see what I'm saying? So by prayer, with supplication, I'm giving it to the Lord. With thanksgiving, that's cool too, man. With thanksgiving, I'm thankful for who he is. I'm thankful for what he's done. I'm thankful for what he's doing. I'm thankful for his promises. I'm thankful if it doesn't even work out the way I want it to work out. I'm thankful that his will is going to be done. Amen. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Give it to him. And this is cool. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Does that sound cool to you? That we don't have to be stressed. This is just one of the blessings of praying. I'm in the Word. I'm in my prayer closet. I'm going to give the Lord my burdens. I'm going to give them to him. And you know what? He's going to give me peace. Just like Hannah. Y'all know about Hannah, the lady that wanted the baby? She was freaking out. She was so distraught, she was crying, and the priest thought she was drunk. you know, because she wasn't making any sense. And but you know what? She didn't leave the temple at Shiloh with a baby in her hands. Not right there when she was so distraught. But the Lord ministered to her, and she received that word of the Lord. She went to the Lord, released that burden, and the Lord gave her peace. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay, God is good. So I'm going to give this stuff to the Lord. Can somebody say God is good? Amen. He is good. What surpasses all understanding. People aren't going to get it. What surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So this is cool, and we need to remember this, that this is all through Christ Jesus. Jesus paid for me to have peace. He paid for me to have salvation. He paid for my body to be healed. You know what I mean? Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. So this is one of the benefits of belonging to the Lord. Amen? That I can have peace, but I've got to give it to him, or you can hold on to it as much as you want to. Okay, but that's not going to benefit you. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay. So anyways, the Lord loves to spend time with us. The Lord expects us to spend time with us. We're going to get benefited from spending time with the Lord. When I sat down to do this sermon, and I wanted to do it in just one sermon, so we're going to go about 2 hours over today. But you know, it's like when I went down to do the Bible thing. I'm playing back there. when I went down to do the Bible thing, I was like, man, dude, I could chop this up. We could spend half a year on this, man, and still get fed. I mean, this is good stuff. There's so much about prayer. It's so important to our relationship. Amen? And it was important to our Lord Jesus Christ. He was big into some prayer time, man. He prayed publicly, but he also would sneak off when he could, man. You know what I mean? Hey, man, I got a big day today. Let the disciples sleep in for about 30 minutes. I don't think that'll be a problem with these guys. I'm going to go out here and spend some time with Dad. He already had some awesome communion, awesome relationship. This is talking about the second man of the Trinity here. But he wanted that alone time with his Father. You know what I mean? So if it's a priority with him, and we're his disciples, we're his children, how come we ain't praying like we should? Mm-hmm. Tell the truth. Shame the devil, huh? We all could benefit on spending some time with the Lord. And we're talking about spiritual discipline, man. It don't always feel convenient, but I get into it, and you will appreciate it. Amen. You will never say, man, I shouldn't have spent that time alone with my Heavenly Father today. My life has been horrible since I started praying to Jesus. You'll never say that unless you're a liar and you need to pray about that. Amen. All right. Mark 1:35, and rising very early in the morning, So by the Bible, you have to get up really, really early and pray. This is what we have to do. If you know to do good and you don't do it, you're sinning. So y'all have to. No, I'm playing. I'm going to be in trouble for that one. So let me just say this. This was a priority with Jesus. I'm not saying you have to get up early before anybody else does, but we should make it a priority to spend time with the Lord. But this is what Jesus did, and this you'll find this all through the Gospels. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. I think there's a lot in that verse that we could glean from. He went out to a desolate place. He went out by himself. You know, get alone. Shut off the TV. You know, shut off the TV, get alone, get all by yourself, and really spend some time with the Lord. Amen. And listen to that still small voice. You're not always, more than likely, you're not going to hear an audible voice. You can hear an audible voice. Okay, God, for nothing is impossible. God, he can do whatever he wants to, man. He made a donkey talk. Look, I'm up here talking. You see what I'm saying? He can do whatever he wants to. But me, most of the time, it's an impression on my heart. You know, he's stirring something up. Amen? Okay. Okay. Let's go to the next slide. I'm going to push this button. I'm going to know exactly how long I've been talking, Ron. Time sure flies when you're up here talking. It stands still for you cats. Okay. Hey, I've been out there. especially when the chicken and dumplings are boiling. Okay, Luke 11. Now, the disciples saw this intimacy that the Lord Jesus Christ enjoyed with God the Father. The disciples saw this, and they wanted this. Okay, now listen. The disciples, how long they spent with Jesus? 3 years? 3 years plus? Every day, they spent this time with the Lord. They saw how he would go off and pray with the Lord. They heard him pray. They wanted that same connection. They're like, I need this. I need to have this relationship with my heavenly Father. Okay, so let's give them a check mark for doing that right, right? Okay. I mean, look, Kayla May. Look, if I spent 3 years with Jesus, and I knew I kind of had to do this public speaking thing, you know, which they all were going to have to do, I'd be like, hey, hook me with some pointers, man. You know, how about that teaching? I mean, Jesus had the teaching thing. There's no one ever taught better or will ever teach as good as he does. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't see where they say, hey, teach me how to captivate 5,000 people with no microphone or nothing. How do you do that? You know what I'm saying? That doesn't come up. Or some of you guys, hey, Jesus, that water and the wine thing, how'd you do that? Right? Tell the truth. You know, you're in church. How about them miracles, man? Some of that stuff. He said, teach us how to pray. Teach us, that's how important it is. Okay? Teach us how to pray. We need this. If we're going to go on, if we're going to be your servant, we need to have this down. I need to know how to communicate with my Lord. I need that relationship. We need it just as much. Amen? Okay, so he says, teach him how to pray. You guys just stay where you're at. Where are you at? You're at Luke 11? I didn't even tell y'all to turn, did I? If you want to, turn to Luke 11. This is the disciples say, hey, teach us how to pray. We really got to get a hold of this. And so now we're going to get into the Lord's Prayer briefly. Hopefully, Lord willing, don't make me a liar up here. I hope I don't make myself a liar is what I'm saying. But we're going to get into the Lord's Prayer, a template, if you will, our categories to hit when we pray. Okay? These are categories, if you're taking notes, categories when we pray. Now, remember, God's not big into the whole mindless mechanical repetition. So if you're just saying what is known as the Lord's Prayer, there's nothing wrong with that. But make sure that you're, hey, I'm spending time with you right now, and I want to recite this with you, and not just saying it, thinking that some magic fairy dust is going to hit you for saying it. You know what I mean? Okay. Okay. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father. Okay, and that's who he is. He is our loving Father, and he wants to spend time with us. Listen, man, this is big stuff, man, that God, creator of the universe, wants to spend time with you. He wants to grow in relationship with you. So we come to him, and we say, Father, and you don't have to do this verbatim, okay? These are categories. Y'all with me? Father, hallowed be your name. Now, that is so cool. Well, let's talk about Father for one more second. Let's understand who he is. He's my heavenly Father. I've been grafted into the family. I'm not going to hell. He is mine. But what do fathers do? What do good fathers do? And this is where some of us get it wrong with the prayer, and we get it wrong with reading the Bible, because we may have had a crummy father, right? We may have not had a father around at all, okay? But see, a godly father, a good father, provides, protects, guides. You see what I'm saying? So I'm coming to him knowing that he is capable of meeting my needs. Listen, he is capable of meeting my needs. He wants to meet my needs. He wants to hang out with me. You see what I'm saying? Okay, Father, hallowed be your name. So hallowed means holy, to honor as holy. Hallowed be your name, to honor as holy. Now, we can't get this one wrong. He is my Father, and he wants intimacy with me. But we have to give him the honor that is due him. He is holy. Matter of fact, there's no one like him, okay? There's only one true God in three persons. And guess what? You've been picked out by him, okay? You belong to him, so give yourself a round of applause. Right? Dude, I love the fact that I got picked out for the winning team. Finally, man. Kayla's. Thank you, Jesus. He is holy, not just holy, but he is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. We talked about this. Holy, holy, holy. That means holy, holiest ever. There's nothing more holy than him. Okay, Billy Graham ain't but a tiny, minute, tiny, tiny, tiny little drop in the bucket. Are y'all with me? Name above all names. You're not getting it. The train of his robe fills the temple. Okay, his majesty, there's no one like him. I'm just going to give up. Josh, I'm just going to give up. I'm saying we have to honor him for who he is. Keep that reverence when we come before him. Yes, he wants to hang out with you, but let's have that reverence. Let's have that respect. Amen. How about this one? Heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. Big God, right? And he wants to hang out with you. But he says, let's follow a little bit of the appropriate protocol, and let's have some reverence and honor. Amen? Your kingdom come. Now, this is cool. Okay, so, Father, hallowed be your name. I might have to get to that monster in a minute. Your kingdom come. God, your kingdom here, we pray this, that your work that you want done on this planet is done. Your church, your will be done in your church. The people that you want to be saved, and he wishes none perish. You know, God, your work be done. Amen. With your church. Now, matter of fact, we're in Luke, but just look on the monitor real fast. Matthew 6, we have this prayer that's very similar to the one we see in Luke. There's just little tiny, tiny little difference. Okay? So I wanted to jump over and hit this real fast. What, did somebody take some liberties and wrote something extra in there? Some monk went and added some stuff? That's not what happened, man. This is just extra good stuff. Okay. Oh, Jesus was a preacher. He was a teacher. And he'd teach different people at different times. Okay, let me see if I can say it like this. When I was a young man, I would go on preaching trips with my father. And he was a minister. He was a pastor, but he did a lot of evangelical stuff. He'd go out and preach in different churches. And the thing about being an evangelist, it's different than being a pastor. See, a pastor has to come up with numerous sermons throughout the year. Tons of them. An evangelist can have a briefcase full of 4 or 5 sermons and take them everywhere. They need to be timely, and they need to be inspired by the Lord. So what I'm saying is Brother Fred could have a sermon, and he could preach it in Des Moines, Iowa, and he could preach it in Burbank, California. Timely for the churches that he was going to, but he might tweak them a little bit for the people he was talking to. To hit, hey, I need to focus on this. The Lord is saying I need to focus on this. So when we see little differences like this, don't stand up and be like, I found discrepancies in the Word of God. This says there's 2 men on crosses that were sinners, and this said there's a whole slew of them. What's going on, man? Different perspectives. There ain't no lies. This is the inspired Word of God. You see what I'm saying? It's been a long time saying. Anyways, whatever. I guess I needed to say that. Maybe not. Matthew 6, we see this where it's slightly different in the prayer. We have another example here. Okay, it says your kingdom come, but it also says your will be done. So your kingdom, talking about God's church, talking about salvation for the unbelievers, everybody that needs to be saved, God, your will be done in that arena. But also in Matthew it says your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which I really like that. Because that's not only just talking about God's kingdom, but it's also talking about me as an individual. You see what I'm saying? Your will be done. Your will be done. How many of you think God's will is done in heaven? Pretty much all day long, right? Not a whole lot goes on without his permission. Nothing. Amen? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's talking about me too. You know what I mean? God, I want your will done in my life. So when I pray, we're talking about a prayer here. I want to say, God, your will be done. So I'm going to exchange, as painful as it can be, if I'm hanging out with the Lord, he wants to exchange my will, my plans, my goals, for his will, his goals. Y'all with me? So if I'm praying, that's how I want to pray. God, I want to give you my goals, and I want what you want for my life. That makes sense? Okay, I knew a person that prayed a painful prayer like that, because it can be painful, because we think this is what we need, but we need to come to a time and a place where we're like, God, I just want what you want, whatever that is. And then when we give it to him, man, that's where the blessings start flowing. Amen? Are y'all with me? Okay, Edwin Keith said this, prayer is exhaling the spirit of man and inhaling the spirit of God. Changing my will for his will. I'm talking about there's power in prayers like this. I say, God, not what I want, not anymore, but I want what you want. Amen? And sometimes that's hard because we get addicted to people. We get addicted to things. You know, and I'm not talking about drugs. I mean, that certainly can be a part of it. But we say, God, I have to have it this way. It's like, no, you don't, man. You're here for me. You belong to me. You're not your own. You've been bought at a price. That's the place he's trying to get us. And the more time I spend in the Word, the more time I spend in prayer, the more I'm going to want to do that switch. I want what you want. Amen? Okay, God is good. Give us each day our daily bread. Is that on there? Yeah. Back in Luke. Give us each day our daily bread. Now, this is cool because it's not just talking about food. It is talking about food. But this speaks of our necessities, the things that we need. Does God care about you having food on your table? He does. Does he care that the lights are paid? Listen, I give this to God. God, you know what? I need this. Give us this day our daily bread. So I don't need to be all stressed out about what's going to happen next month or next year. Because, listen, tomorrow's going to have its own things I need to give to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? And I can get stressed out and just be super nutty if I focus on how things, there's no way they can work out, you know, down the road. I'm not going to be able to pay this. I mean, we need to think ahead and stuff like that. That's not what I'm saying. But don't let Satan steal your joy because you don't know how God's going to do it. Just know God's going to do it. You focus on this day, and God's going to meet my needs. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. Remember the birdies? They don't worry about nothing. I'm praying. I'm saying, God, listen, you know these kids need tennis shoes. You know these kids need this. I give it to you. Amen? Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Man, is anybody like sweating like crazy? Yeah, you are. Forgive us our sins. Now, this is super, super important, man. Okay, just as important as it is to say, hallowed be your name, to spend that time in prayer honoring God, you know, praising God, getting my eyes off of myself and focusing on the awesomeness of my God, I've got to ask for forgiveness. No sin blocks, no roadblocks between me and my relationship with my Lord. Are y'all with me? Let me say it like this. This prayer, we're talking about people that are already saved, people that belong to Jesus. Okay? So, it's not saying that you're not saved if you say this. Are y'all with me? But what it's saying is we can hurt our relationship with God. We can hinder our prayers if there's things in my life that I'm not turning from. Lost everybody? We set these roadblocks up because there's things we don't get rid of, that we should get rid of, that we don't have any business holding on to. And God may want to bless us. God may really want to move in our life. He may want to bring a healing, but we're not turning from some things. So as I enter into a time of prayer, say, Lord God, like David, search my heart. What's going on in here? I repent of this. I give it to you. Amen. You know what? I'm going to get closer to the Lord, and some awesome things are going to happen. Amen. Forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. You guys like that part? We have to forgive everybody that's ever hurt us. That's tough. But it's right there, and that's not the only place that's in the Bible. You can scratch it out right there. It's going to surface other places. We have to forgive people. We have to forgive the people that have hurt us. So that's what God expects. That's what God says. You have to do this, Kayla. Those people that hurt us, we have to forgive them. Amen? It's hard to do. It's a hard pill to swallow, but we need to take that pill. We got to do it. Amen? See, that's what I was getting at. Sometimes the Lord can't answer our prayer. Listen, and we're getting close to the end. The Lord can't answer our prayer because he's not hearing our prayer. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense because I thought he was like omnipresent. He could hear everything and he was everywhere. Yeah, he is, but Isaiah 59 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not too shortened that he cannot save." So, hey, God, you're not moving in my life. I really need you to move in this, man. It's not that he has a power problem. It's not that he's weak. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not too shortened that he cannot save, or his ear too dull that it cannot hear." Okay, so it's not that God's weak. It's not that he has a hearing problem. It's that we, a lot of times, have an obedience problem. So there's a wall between us and our Lord, you know? So we got to knock that wall down so we can continue to get that blessing. Amen? So we can get back in that time of refreshing. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. God is good. "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins," now listen, "and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." So sometimes when you're like, "Oh, I used to pray, you know, but my prayers never got answered." Maybe we got some roadblocks up. Maybe we're not forgiving those that have hurt us, right? Maybe we're holding on to stuff that we ain't got no business holding on to. Can I get a witness? It's true, man. So that could be a reason right there. Another reason is you're asking for stupid stuff. Sometimes we ask for dumb stuff, man. You know, God's like, "I ain't giving you that. Are you out of your mind? If I get you a fleet of jet skis and a sailboat and a motorboat, you going to be at church every Sunday? That's not happening, bro. You can stop praying for that." Sometimes we ask for stupid things. We ask for the wrong reasons, right? God says, "You ain't fooling me, man. You ain't going on no missionary trip on that speedboat." James 4:3, if you need a reference, you think I'm up here lying. James 4:3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions." I'm guilty of that. I mean, lesser and lesser, you know. Yeah, we hope. Lesser. We should be getting, it should be, Donnie, this should be the trend of our life. You know, more of God, less of me. More of God, less of me. And so we need to get to that place where we're not going to ask for stupid stuff. Make sure we don't have roadblocks. These are some reasons why your prayers ain't going to get answered. You know, don't ask for something for the wrong reason, you know. So why am I praying? You can ask yourself, why am I praying? What is my motivation for praying? Or also ask yourself this, is this going to benefit my relationship with the Lord? If this was to be granted, like, boom, there it is. Is this going to benefit my relationship? Is it going to help me in spiritual growth? You know, or is it going to hinder it? You know what I mean? That's why everybody in here ain't won the lottos yet. You know, I know all y'all play that. All y'all that pray the lotto. You know what I mean? You're like, "Lord Jesus, if you just, I'm right now in agreement. If you give me all this money, I'm going to build a bridge from here to Haiti and them kids will never starve another." You know, I'm telling you. It's on. Let's just make this happen. I'm telling you, we can change the world. No, you know, God's like, "Man, just get serious with me. I'll give you your daily bread, bro. I'll give you the things you need." And you know what? You can pray for stuff, man. You can pray for cool stuff. He wants to bless you. He's your Father. You know what I mean? But he's not going to give you what you don't need. So if you got something you don't need, it ain't because he gave it to you. It's not because he answered your prayers. It's because you went ahead and went and got it. You know, you moved heaven and earth to make sure you got this that ain't benefiting you or nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing. He stop asking for stupid stuff. Make sure there ain't no sin roadblocks in your life, right? And sometimes he says no just because, well, sometimes he says not yet or not now. You know what I mean? Because it's not time. And sometimes he says no because it's not good for you. And what I mean by that, that doesn't fall in the asking for stupid stuff category, because sometimes you might have the best intentions in the world. You know, but he can be like, as a loving father, as a caring father, he's like, no, not doing that. You don't need that. You know what I mean? So those are just a few categories of things why our prayers do not get answered. So let's finish this thing up. And all God's people said, and lead us not into temptation. Now this boggles a lot of people's minds. And I'll be the first to say, since I'm the one with the microphone, it's boggled my mind before. You know, back in the days, listen, Rick McClure, back in the days when I didn't understand the Bible. I'm playing. I have no special knowledge. I just read it a lot. Lead us not into temptation. What in the world does that mean? Because James says the Lord don't tempt us. So what's he talking about? Okay, God does not tempt us, but God will allow us to be tempted. Make sense? Everyone still listening? God would not allow you to be tempted. Yes, he does. He allows us to go through trials and tests and all kinds of stuff for our growth. Well, wasn't Jesus tempted in the wilderness? Okay, so if it was good enough for Jesus, don't you think the good Lord will allow us to be tempted? Right, for our growth, our maturity, for our reliance on him. But see, the thing is, what it means is, Lord God, strengthen me. Strengthen me. It's another category. God, give me the strength to turn from this. Okay, anything that God allows to come into your life, there's always a way of escape. You do not have to say, you're not justified in saying, it was just too much. There was just too much pudding for one man to eat. You know what I mean? You ain't justified in saying, you know what I mean? I've been there. No, I'm playing. But I have had this reoccurring dream of being locked in a Debbie cake truck. And the dude opening up and like, okay, here it is, Rick. You pull into the Tom Thumb, and here's that guy that's perpetually unloading Debbie cakes at every grocery store you go to. You know what I'm talking about? Dude looks like he's about to have a heart attack. Anyway, we need to pray for him. Anyways, you're walking into the store, and you're like, ooh, Debbie Cake truck's open in the back. And you walk in there over and over again. Every night I have the same dream. I walk in there, it's like, ooh, look at this, beautiful. And then the dude comes up and locks the door behind you. And the next morning he goes to open it up after he's been at the house. And you're sitting there, I'm sitting there, my shirt unbuttoned. Nothing but a bunch of empty boxes all around me. That's a fabrication. That's a story. That's not a reoccurring dream. God is good. Amen. Where are we at? What are we talking? Oh, don't leave me into temptation. Don't. That's why I said that. God doesn't lead us into temptation. Pray for strength. Pray for wisdom. There's always a way of escape. Amen. God, strengthen me. So one of the things I want to pray for is strength, wisdom, guidance. Y'all with me? Last slide. Let's go to the last slide. All right. God is good. Right there. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him. Don't you love that, man? When God says, hey, you can take this to the bank, you can write a check on this. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, okay, you want to get your prayers answered? Let's pray, God, your will be done. Your will be done in your church. Your will be done in your kingdom, Lord God. Your will be done on the planet Earth. Your will be done in my family's life. Your will be done in my life, Lord God. Whatever's not of me, remove it. Amen. I just want you. I turn this over to you, God. Your will be done. Amen. Ask according to his will. He hears us. Okay, so if I ask in his will, guess what? He's going to hear that. Amen. And if we know that he hears, so I'm trusting in him. I'm not doubting. And if we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, whatever I ask, as long as it's in his will, we know that we have the request that we ask of him. So that's a surefire way to get your prayers answered. God, I want your will done. Not mine anymore. I want your will done. And he says, I hear you. Let's do this. Doesn't always feel good, but listen, man, you're in church because you want to grow in relationship. You're here in church because you love Jesus. Ain't nobody going to pay you money for being here this morning. Well, I may have done that the first couple of times you came here, but I can't do that. Yeah. So listen, in wrapping up, you need peace? That's in the Lord's will. You need joy? That's in the Lord's will. You need strength? You need wisdom? You need guidance? You want a grown relationship? You want to put down sin? That's all in the Lord's will, man. You need provision? God knows what you need before you ask. Let's spend more time in the Word of God. Let's spend more time in prayer. We're talking about spiritual disciplines. We're talking about growing in relationship. You're not going to have personal revival if you don't get into the book. You're not going to have times of refreshing if you don't spend time in communication and hanging out with the Lord in prayer. Amen? Okay, we got food across the way. Everybody needs to stay. And Bible study, men's Bible study is tomorrow at 1 p.m. at Whataburger on Stewart Street. You don't want to miss that one. And then Wednesday night we have youth and we have Bible study, and it is a good time in the Lord. Donnie, why don't you bless the food, brother? Take us home.
Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, Father, and just have it in our hearts, Lord Jesus. At this time, Father God, we ask blessings over the food, the ones that prepared it for us, and bless the conversation in Jesus' name. Amen.